Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green, here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome into this absolutely beautiful Saturday morning. My goodness. Hey, welcome to Fondren Yard, y'all. This is so cool. This is my neighborhood. If you have never been, well, if you've never been to Jackson, for starters, and then if you've never been to Fondren, and you've never been to Fondren Yard, this weekend is probably going to be the finest ever to visit with us. That's because the Bottle Tree Garden Tour is going on, but also because, let's face it, this weather is fantastic. Good morning. Guess who's here? Hey, Peaches.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm really wonderful. This is such a beautiful day. We have so many people to thank for bringing us here. First of all, of course, it's Gary, because if he wasn't here, we wouldn't be talking.
We would not be.
And Lance at the studio, because, you know, he can turn us off anytime he decides to. So, good morning, everybody. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate y'all being here. We've already got a couple of our dearest friends here walking in this morning. One had to come in and move some cables for us already and get into some work. And I think he went back to get his dog, but I'm not really sure about that, Paul. However, Paula's here. We've got a bunch of things going on. Y'all need to come on and see us. And even better, take my advice. Go to FondrenGardenTour.com and get yourself a ticket. Now, when you arrive in Fondren, right out in front of Fondren Station, which we're in the backyard of Fondren Station, right there you will find a table that has our dear friend Rebecca and her other volunteers providing you with your tickets, taking out all that information, getting all that together, and frankly, wearing the most beautiful purple shirts you have ever seen. They are indeed designed for the Bottle Tree Garden Tour by one of our very own. I mean, this neighborhood is just so talented and so clever. We are going to talk to some folks from here. I want you to see the magazine. Guillermo Salinas, of course, more recently than I got here, let's put it that way.
Exactly.
Has opened up his bakery in the Dueling Building. And this wonderful logo was his for us to have here for this. Now, guess what else happened, y'all? We don't just do the fancy, right? We do the practical, too. All this week, people have been saying to me, how come there's people using weed eaters up and down State Street and all over the neighborhood? Did you do that? I mean, well, no, but I really appreciate it. The question is, who did it? Well, Fondren Renaissance did it. The Fondren Renaissance Foundation did that. And we're just so tickled. It spruced us all up, makes us all look just a little bit better than we did before. And that's what this is all about. Fondren's a neighborhood that literally goes in for improving things and making them better. Mark, you've been here a long time. Now, you live in Brandon, but you did live in Fondren at one time.
I did.
You've seen things change.
A lot. A whole lot. And this week has just been like a swarm of bees cleaning up yards, putting up Halloween decorations, you know, bottle trees. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, that's because it's National Be Nice Day.
It is National Be Nice Day.
We're going to all be nice.
And it's actually National Get Funky Day, too, because, you know, there used to be Keep Fondren Funky.
There was.
Yeah.
There were signs
years
about
ago.
That. There were, I think I still have one somewhere, yes, as a matter of fact. And indeed, that is part of the challenge, is to keep it being very individualistic and at the same time growing and progressing and moving in towards the latter part of the 21st century, as well as we arrived at the first part. This neighborhood is old. It's probably older than me, let's just put it that way. And the good news is it's new every day. So I have several things that are going on. We're going to talk to Jonathan Lee after a while. He is the chairman of the Fondren Renaissance Foundation. Give him all of our big thanks for inviting us to be here. And then we're also going to talk with our gardener on the tour, Rebecca Thompson, whose garden is just beautiful. We're also going to tell you more about Fondren as the morning goes on. But, of course, this is the place for your phone calls, your texts, and Lance's wonderful voice. He will read them even though he's been talking all week long. He's going to talk some more. If you send us a text, you will hear from him because he's going to really use his voice for that. I've got one for you, Lance.
Bring it on, GM.
I did not know what a sea robin was.
Yeah.
I know what a robin is. They nest in my hedge. Okay, mm-hmm. I get that. And I'm fairly comfortable with the sea. I enjoy being out on the water. I like getting on a boat every now and then, going swimming, one thing and another. But sea robins I thought this had to be from Greek mythology, but it's real. Body of a fish, the wings of a bird, and the walking legs of a crab.
I see. Yeah, it's kind of a unique living creature there, and it's not small. I mean, there is
no,
big as a person.
It's just really something. They dig for their dinner, basically.
I've never seen anything like this.
I just love this. I think it's so interesting.
That is the coolest, oddest thing I've ever seen.
Isn't that weird? It really is weird. They use the same genes that we use in our tongues. So what it means is that as they are digging into the seafloor, they're tasting where their food is. Kind of like, you and me at a buffet.
No, definitely.
This is kind of making me a little nervous.
Yeah, if you saw the picture of this.
I mean, there's something.
Oh,
there really is something.
Yeah, I'm, wow.
You might need something like this if one got after you, right?
I want one of these in like a koi pond, And
of course you do.
By themselves.
Have somebody clean the pond and be like, whoa, what is that? Oh, yeah, that's just one of those old sea robins. Nothing to it.
Incredible. But I just had never heard of that. I don't think I'm without my knowledge of things, but I had never heard of this one, and it sure is a weirdo. You won't see that in Fondren.
Sea robin. There's a song there, Lance.
Somewhere in
there's
there.
A song.
The giant sea robin.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
You got the big-headed sea robin also.
Ah, and we have an airplane.
We have an airplane.
You're getting buzzed.
We get a buzz. Good morning. How y'all doing? Pretty soon the helicopter will come over going to the hospital. And the guys in the back will, not quite. The guys in the back will start up their pounding on the construction that they... That's the other thing about Fondren. The sound of construction is with you all the time. At my house, we attempt not to turn on things like compressors and generators until about 8 in the morning. But after that, all bets are off. So
the leaf blower starts at my house about 7.
See, that's the problem. Those leaf blowers are really loud. And the people that are running them don't ever wear ear protection, so they don't even know because they're deaf by now.
Yeah, I wear earbuds with music blaring.
I just wake up at 6 a.m. on a Saturday, and I just crank the leaf blower and sit it outside.
I'm pretty sure my neighbor in another place used to do that. He was literally the king of the leaf blowing. But I have a guy here now that enjoys a string trimmer just as much. This man will string trim until midnight. I don't know how he can even see. I guess he's got a headlamp. I don't know. But it's pretty crazy. Now listen, y'all, I'm going to tell you also, it's crunch time. I've been working. My garden, as you all know, is a plant collection. It is going to be available for viewing this afternoon from 1 to 4 and tomorrow morning from 9 to 12. I'm really excited about that. But my greenhouse is still not fixed, so don't plan to come and see it because it's not seeable. However, I am going to tell you that if, like me, you're hoping, and here she puts her elbow into Peach's ribs, if you're hoping someone's going to come just build you a magic greenhouse, this is the time to do it. Whether you're ordering a kit, making a plan, or frankly, as one friend of mine did, they changed out all of the windows in the building where he worked. That became his greenhouse.
Exactly. It doesn't take much.
It doesn't take a whole lot to get that structure going and get you some good sun-available space into there. So this is really the time to do that. Here's what you actually have to have. You got to have a plastic roof. Green fiberglass is not a greenhouse roof. It is a storage shed. It does not provide the right light. Love y'all. They're cute, but they're not going to do what you need them to do. All right? So you got to have a clear roof and preferably clear sides at least halfway down. You may have a sidewall is what that's called because, frankly, it's kind of hard to maintain plastic or glass all the way to the ground. So you may have a sidewall. That's fine, but you got to have that. You then also have to have a heat source. Now, the heat source may be nothing more than, a window that opens into your house if you happen to have a good heating system. Or, if you happen to be running a clothes dryer, you can certainly have a heating source that comes out from the clothes dryer. But there are a couple things you shouldn't do, and one of those is a kerosene heater. Now, Mark is nodding his head because we all have known people that killed all their plants with the fumes from a kerosene heater. It's not a good idea.
Well, it happens in commercial greenhouses, too.
Sure it does.
And, you know, the fumes, if they don't get out, mm-hmm. you start noticing, you know.
There's a particular mess that happens.
And one, Tradescantia is really sensitive to it.
It is. And when people will put the little, like a purple wandering Jew or set Carissa, they'll put it next to their heat source.
Right.
So that if it withers, they know that they've got a problem with ventilation.
Exactly.
Because the other thing you have to have is ventilation. It may be nothing more than you remembering to go open the door every day.
Okay. Lots of ventilation because...
But lots of ventilation is very helpful.
You know, a sunny day in January, a greenhouse can get up to 150 in just a matter of minutes if it's small.
And you're sprouting seedlings, and the next thing you know, they've melted.
Right.
Got too
and they go straight up.
And it does happen. He's as far down as he can go, so I don't know what else to do.
I'm sorry. I'll try not to be so loud.
We'll work on it at the break.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I realize that things are often a little balanced, and so if y'all are hearing things in a little odd balance, I apologize for that. We're getting it straight. All right, now, the other thing that you've got to remember is that your plastic shower curtain does not a greenhouse make. I recognize that we would all like to do that, and we think, well, if I put it on each side of the 2x4, so then I have a dead space in between them, it will make it warmer, but the plastic's too thin. You've got to get 6 mil clear plastic if you're going to call it a greenhouse wall. Now, again, if your business is re-upping the windows, you know, you may not need any plastic at all. But on the other hand, when you do use that plastic, you will be so sad. Here's one other thing. This is a tip I learned from people that put in garden ponds. When you make a greenhouse, just as when you make a garden pond, make it a little bigger than you thought you needed.
Exactly.
Because you'll be sad later.
It's the same with pool decks, you know.
That's
if you're going to put a deck around your pool, make it 3 times bigger than what the guy that designed your pool said it should be.
Yeah, because you really do need the room for the chairs and one thing and another. It's real important. I love that. And it's one of the tips that you don't always hear, you know, because the person who's designing your space is designing it with several things in mind. First of all, what you want to do with it, obviously, because they're designing for you. But second of all, the economy of the situation. And
right.
That person may not realize that since you intend to lay out on that deck every night, for
exactly.
Whatever, that you need it to be bigger and that you're willing to invest in it. So sometimes those are the issues that we get to. The greenhouse is the same thing. I have long, since I had a very tiny greenhouse, I have said consistently, it needs to be at least 4 feet longer than you think because that's where you're going to put your chair. So
right.
You can just sit in there and enjoy the fact that you have a greenhouse.
Well, and the height of the roof.
Makes a big difference.
Huge. Don't do a short one. Make it as tall as you can because heat rises.
It really does. And particularly if your ventilation situation is not good, you can get back into those problems that we were talking about. I've known people who attempted to heat greenhouses with just about everything that you can imagine. And frankly, some things work better than others. I think that the reason the sidewall is so appealing is because it will heat up itself. And then that helps to maintain the heat around the floor of the greenhouse, which is oftentimes the coldest part.
You know what's really funny about this? We could bore these people to death talking about what we know about building a greenhouse.
Oh, yeah, we could drive them. Yeah, do you want to know about square foot to ventilation capacity? No, you don't want to know.
No, you don't want to know.
But you do want to know that pears are harvesting right now. I had the hardest time. I walked into a place that sells lots and lots of oriental vegetables, and there was 4 kinds of Asian pears. I had only eaten 2 of them before.
How many did you get?
Well, I only got the 2 I hadn't eaten before, so I could try them. But that's the point. There's many more than you realize.
Yeah.
And of course, we grow beautiful, beautiful ones here, and at the same time, it's persimmon season. It's, you know, there's so many things that we can appreciate. I have said for years and years that the best apple pie I ever had was actually a pear pie that was treated like apples, and you didn't know it wasn't until you realized that the texture was better.
Right.
The pears have a much better texture in their pie or in their
exactly.
pie, however you cook them. It's a different, but they do take on the flavor of whatever you want to put them with. There's another pear pie recipe with our cooking pears, our kefir pears, the sand pears, whatever name you want to give them. It's not the Bartlett that you buy to eat fresh, but the cooking type pears. There's a couple of recipes with them that use mint that are just incredibly, you know, almost Asian but not quite. They've got ginger in them and that kind of stuff. Pears will take all of that up.
Right, right.
They're just really delightful. If I could make pastry, I would be a really good baker.
Lance, here we go on food again, and all I've had for breakfast was a banana.
Well, you know, you are in a great area for somebody to run an errand and grab you some food, you know.
There might be a piece of pizza in the back of the truck waiting on me for the next break.
There's yeah. much better options up there.
There's bagels
at my
house.
For a fact, yeah.
Yeah, for a fact. We've been here for some good food. There's a lot of fun things to do in Fondren, and that is one of the things that we all really appreciate. Not only do people come here just to look at the gardens, but people come here for lunch and for dinner and to do business and to, frankly, shop some of the most unusual places that you will run into anywhere because they're very homegrown, very local type shops. We like to think of ourselves, this is going to be a surprise some people because it's an oldie from Fondren, but we like to think of ourselves as the original walking mall. You know,
exactly,
like back when you used to walk down the strip or downtown in your town or whatever it was, that's what this is like.
And if you follow Nellie and I at all on social media,
Fondren,
we spend a lot of time in Fondren.
Well, yeah. I, the older I get, the more I want my circumspect, you know. I want to be able to go 2 miles and find everything. It's not quite like that.
Kind of like Manhattan.
I'm going on the road next week. Give it a few years.
Yeah, you know, that's 10 right. or 12 years from now, I'm sure there'll be like the airport turnstile things that you just hop on right in front of GM's house and it'll zip you right up to Fondren.
We thought about that for the tour. If we get to year 5, I think we're going to try to do a shuttle bus.
That's what we're working on, you know. Fun.
I think we need paratroopers.
We do.
You know, like a big super talk parachute coming behind us.
Yeah, they said pear tree burgers. I'm like, I'm in, you know, it's food, and it's early.
You'll try anything, y'all. Watch out. Listen, when it comes time, hit the music loud so I can hear it, okay? Because I'm not, we're a little noisy here.
Got 3 seconds.
I can see where we are headed at our 8:22 point. I'm happy to say we're right on time this morning. When you do live radio, friends and neighbors, it takes a family. The village gets us here, but it takes the family to get us on the air. And guess what? I'm so lucky. I got the best family in the world. Stay where you are, or get in your car and come on to Fondren Yard. This is the Garden Mama Show.
With darkness all about, you want the screaming shout. Carry on, carry on. Don't cry, baby. Look at where you've been. On your knees, carry on, carry on. Your head is full of doubt, you can't figure anything out. Carry on.
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Do you ever feel like you are in the dark? Well, with a propane generator, you'll never be in the dark again, at least when the lights go out. Enjoy the comfort and safety of knowing you have a propane generator always ready when the electricity goes out. Propane generators assure you will always have power. Propane-fueled, clean cooking, hot water on demand, warm and consistent heat and power when you need it most. Why would you choose anything else? Propane. Clean American energy. Visit mspropane.com today.
At Keegan
We are getting this baby crunk back up, and at the moment we have a little bit of a dead time with Garden Mama. So here I am for you, and I will let you guys know that Garden Mama is ready to see you down in Fondren today. She'll be there all day up to lunch. And here we go. Garden Mama is
yeah,
back
there it
with
is.
Us.
There okay.
you go. Come
he,
on.
He swapped. We swapped. We're
oh,
back.
Good. Well, I think that
now
works
you can
better.
Hear me too loud.
Yes, this is no, you're not too loud. Your voice is like an angel, Garden Mama.
Thank you for catching me there. We're trying to fall off the table, but you caught me. I appreciate it.
When you're wearing
it.
Yellow, you have the All voice yellow. Of an angel. I got my yellow one, too.
Thank you.
I don't know what
we have
got
another
to
friend
left,
to yeah. announce into the family. Ariel has been here making sure that we can get everything done and all this, and she has put on the screen here. You won't be able to see it right now, but when the sun changes a little bit, the black screen behind me actually has pictures on it. And you're showing pictures in the TV part, so we're trying to give a lot of coverage to all of this in a place that we've not been before. It's kind of fun, kind of different.
Such a cool spot, too.
Yeah, it really is. You know, a lot of people... So many people have said in the last few weeks, what's a bottle tree? What's that all about? And the answer is, depends on who you ask. If you think about bottle trees in the traditional sense of Mississippi and the Delta and Fondren, it's really the story of keeping lots and lots of all of your spirits, both good and sad, into the bottle. In other words, it'll capture it. And it'll keep it from getting into your house. It's the idea is you put it between your front door and the street. But a lot of other people have been telling us of origins of that story from a lot of other places. For me, Mark, it all goes back to the genie in the bottle.
It is a genie in the bottle.
You know, and it really is that that sort of...
Locking
I'm not sure where that.
Locking those haints up. You can't let
yeah.
them. You can't let them haints run around.
And other pieces, of course, were just about my great aunt who was. Well, I will say she considered herself probably more cultured than the rest of us in the family because she had had many experiences and educations and whatnot, and she probably had a reason to feel that way. But she absolutely had bottles that she kept turned up and some that were down, facing down on her front step. From time to time, and I thought it was very odd that there was all of that kind of superstition in her, and she considered herself so cultured, but she said you have to know when to keep the spirits in and when to let them out.
People are,
and I didn't know that, but I've heard it again since then.
Turn yours up, Peaches.
Okay, can you hear me now? And I had heard that.
I hear you now.
I had heard that before.
Isn't that interesting, though?
Well, you know, the little elves,
yeah. you know.
They get up in and they can't get out.
Yeah. I want a bottle tree with just Mrs. Butterworth's and Miss Aunt Jemima's bottles, like the real ones, the glass ones.
It's all about the syrup.
You know how much that would cost? Those bottles are expensive.
I know. I found a couple in the woods over the years, but, yeah, I want a whole tree of those, too. Those are my favorite ladies ever. Mrs. Butterworth and Aunt
Mrs.
Jemima.
Butterworth.
That's funny. I'm still looking for the ones that are the most prized always are the red bottles because we don't cast red glass so much anymore.
Right.
And when you can get some of those that are old and in good condition, frankly, you can auction them off.
Why are the red ones not made anymore? What is there a reasoning behind that, or is it hard to get? Or
I think there's a lot of heavy metal and toxins in the glass.
Makes a lot of sense, yeah.
But now I do have a gardening tip.
Yes.
I used to take the clear bottles and get stained glass paint pour inside of it.
Oh, yes.
Swirl the bottle, and you can make it any color you want.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. One of the trees at my house has Martinelli apple juice bottles.
Right.
And so that's the perfect application for that when you have that clear glass.
I've got to see one of these. That sounds amazing, honestly.
You are going to join us today, right?
I'm here
tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Everything is
tomorrow.
A little bit different, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the good news is the tour goes on today and tomorrow. It benefits Fondren. Fondren Renaissance Foundation does so much for the neighborhood, and part of what we're doing as people who live here is trying to raise a little money to do some more stuff because they do so
right.
much. We'd like to do some more.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, and Fondren is a great example of community. You know, inside of a bigger city, you have community. And communities pop up, and they're everywhere. But Fondren is an amazing place. I love going down there. Love spending time with the Garden Mama. down in Fondren, in her neck of the woods, but and such a beautiful place. I mean,
he's not even a genie in the bottle.
No,
you know?
Yeah.
He's a little big to get in the bottle. It'd be more like a 50-gallon drum.
Depends on the bottle.
Yeah, it'd have to be a big bottle.
I mean, I want to applaud Fondren while you guys are there. They're doing some amazing things and something to be very proud of, Jackson.
You know, I appreciate that very, very much. I have, I was raised not to accept compliments, but I do try to say yes. I have been part of the Say Yes to Fondren movement for a long time now, and it's paying off. We have people that come to town and come to visit, and they go, well, this is really neat, and it reminds people of neighborhoods in other parts of the country that we hear about but don't ever necessarily get to visit. It just tells you that community and people come together and do stuff. We're so much alike. It's like gardeners. Your garden won't look right like mine, but we have the same natural instincts at heart, and that's really what makes a big difference.
Well, we were having one of our bi-weekly or monthly luncheons the other night, and there was like three or four businessmen that came by, and I heard them say, well, this looks like fun. And they
exactly
just popped in, and there
exactly
we were.
Because it is. It's a good time.
It's a lot of fun.
We have heard, I heard this was the question of this week. Everywhere I went this week in my neighborhood and in a couple of others was, how come my so-and-so doesn't work? My chainsaw, my aerator. You know, this woman stopped me in the grocery store and said, my aerator quit working and I got a new one and it doesn't work either. And the only thing I could think of to say was, have you checked the electricity on that plug with anything that you do know works? And she went, you know, I never thought of that. And I thought, well, that's what we don't think about that.
Right.
I'm the same way. It's like, yeah, I'll unplug it and plug it back in, but at the same time, maybe there's no electricity to that. But when we look at how we're going to fix stuff, there's some things we can repair ourselves and some things we can maintain and some things we really need to get some help with. And I think one of the things we probably need some help with are bigger tools that somebody else has more experience with.
Right, right.
What's your take on maintenance?
Do it regularly.
Oh,
you know,
that's so hard.
I know it is. And, you know, YouTube is your friend. You can find anything you want on YouTube, but you need to clean your tools. You need to sharpen your tools. You need to check your air filters.
Air filters? Come
on. Of course, yeah.
When people will go, you know, they have turned garden equipment into a disposable thing. And it doesn't
I'm afraid that's true.
To be.
That's the
I'm
way it is in
true.
Everything, too. You know, most of your maintenance equipment, home equipment, gardening tools, those things. But if you want to see a shovel that has got a edge to it, been, you know, it has a razor's edge. It's sprayed chrome. I mean, that's the way all of Peach's stuff is. You know, he when he's done
the
it,
real
he,
deal.
If he's done at the end of the day, yeah, he's taking the sandpaper down. He's getting it all back to brand new. That's what he's
I
saying.
I think he's got me confused with somebody else.
You know, taking care of your stuff is so important, right? I mean, you don't leave it sitting
is.
Out in the
it
rain.
Really
don't let it rust up if you don't have to.
I'm really in favor of. There's so many things that we don't think about. One of the best tips I was ever taught when I was doing other people's yards was to rinse off the mower deck in between each yard. Because if the one has a fungus disease, you'll carry it to the next one.
Right.
And then you won't get that contract the next year.
Or if you have chamber bitter up under your mower,
you'll end up with it, gripeweed all over the neighbor.
And you'll donate it to your friends.
Yeah.
You know?
So if you, but that's one of those things that we probably ought to do in our own gardens. And especially if someone else comes to mow your yard,
right,
be sure that they wash off the mower deck itself and the blade before they take off into your property. It's real important.
Wash your mowers.
It sounds crazy, doesn't
sharpen
it?
Sharpen your shovels. Lance, will you come sharpen my shovels?
I like watching you do that. Yeah, does
anybody ever actually, you know, the northern world of gardening puts all their stuff away in the winter, but we don't.
No.
And so occasionally our problems come from the fact that, no, we don't drain the gas out. No, we don't take out the spark plugs. And the next thing you know, it freezes and you've got a problem.
Right.
You know,
right.
And that's part of where the disposable stuff comes in because there's really nobody to fix it.
Well, that, and if you don't put up your stuff in the winter, okay, let's just say your gardening equipment that does require if you don't have all batteries. But if you've got the gas mixture, do not, under any circumstances, leave that gas sitting in anything for any length
right.
of time.
Right.
Your carburetor
right.
is burnt. I don't care what it is. So, yeah, make sure you clean those things out if you're not going to use them for a little while as the grass slows down on its growth. Drain that stuff out.
I have some daffodils to plant this week, and I was reminded of my friend who used her drill, you know, when they first
like an auger.
They first invented battery operated drills, that's how she planted the bulbs. And I thought, I'm not going to plant that many, but it is something to remind people of. People have said those bulb planters that are hand used and manual
right.
are a real pain. I like them myself, but it's not for everybody. And so if that works you too hard, get out your drill and get an auger bit on it and just poke the holes with it, and you'll get your bulbs in, get your ground covers, like she did both of those things. Still a beautiful hillside.
Right.
You know?
Or do everything in the garden like I do with a sharpshooter.
Well, that's true. And I'm not as handy with the sharpshooter, but that's another one. You do have to find your tool.
Yeah.
We've been talking about cobra heads exactly. recently, which I still think is one of the best gifts you can give somebody, because nobody's ever heard of it, and they get one and they want it, and they won't let anybody borrow it.
Get this.
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly.
You hide them.
And you go to cobrahead.com. That's another good choice.
Like I hide these.
Okay. What is that one? Is it a Falco? Who is that?
It's not Falco, but isn't it cute?
It's very
cute. It's got daisies on it.
That's really unusual. And it's very sharp, too.
If I could find one with
right about all that.
If I could find one with a peach
Peaches.
On it.
We'd
yeah.
be in trouble. We would absolutely be in trouble.
You might be in trouble anyway, Lance.
Well, we're just going to have to get, like, a branded item. You know, your face in the form of, like, a peach. And it has, like, a little sticker. We can just stick it on everything. Peaches was here.
I might have a surprise for you later.
Ah, merchandising.
Yes. Merch.
There we go.
I love merch.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, what you're seeing in these yellow shirts are the most amazing, beautiful, softest shirt you'll ever have.
It really is. So we're very happy and lucky to have them.
Get down
we're
here
also
and get you
really,
one.
Really happy to have our sponsors, Trustmark National Bank and Lakeland Yard and Garden, joining us here for this today. And, of course, the folks from our friends, our dear friend. Look at that. That's a nice ad, isn't it?
It's beautiful. You know how much I love my friends at Lakeland.
Well, Fondren Renaissance Foundation started all of this, and we're going to talk to the president of FRNF here in a few moments. Jonathan Lee is here. The neighborhood has people that do everything, but what we all do is we all live in Fondren, and so that's going to be lots and lots of fun. This afternoon, are you at my house this afternoon?
I am.
Okay. When you come to my house this afternoon, when you go to the houses on the tour, you'll meet somebody at the front walkway that gives us the opportunity to make sure you got your ticket, make sure that you got everything that you need for that particular place, and Mark will be the person that you will see there. So we're going to get a chance to see him and talk with him. You know, it's going to be, you'll have a good time. We're going to have fun at my plant collection, as I'm fond of telling you. We're going to move Jonathan Lee in here in just a moment, and we're going to talk about some more interesting things about Fondren, and also give ourselves a chance to really think about what's next. You know, sometimes you get in the middle of an event and you don't think about what's coming next, but he's real involved with that, and I'm looking forward to hearing more and more
hey,
about
Garden
it.
Mama, how, you know, since
yes,
we're
sir.
Before we get to Jonathan, we got about 50 seconds, but what is
yes,
the
sir.
Key that you would say for the community of Fondren for that revitalization? Where did it start? What was that spark that really kicked off everything? So if other communities are thinking, where do we start? How do we do this? Where do you kick it off?
The conversations that go on around people's dinner tables and out on the front porch, and the things that people say that they would like to do and don't know how to do by themselves. You also have to have a mix. We have a working neighborhood. We have people of every generation. So when Fondren got started doing the Renaissance, we had about 12 different little bitty neighborhood associations. So we went to all of them, and everybody came together and sat around a table for a time. And trust me, there were some long meetings. You didn't want to go to them, but we're real glad today that we did. Eventually, we were able to work out a lot of these things, and that process goes on. But it takes different generations. It takes different points of view. It takes people all kind of coming around for the same thing, which is a better place to live for us and our families. That's Fondren. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. We will be right back with Jonathan Lee, Fondren Renaissance Foundation's president. This is the Garden Mama Show.
Hi, I'm Billy Taylor, Executive Director at the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services. Our agency works to help those we serve prepare for today and plan for the future. One way we do that is through the Mississippi ABLE program. This program provides the opportunity for individuals with disabilities to invest their money in tax-advantaged savings accounts without the fear of losing their public benefits. You can learn more or sign up by visiting MississippiABLE.com. That's MississippiABLE.com.
Hi, I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time.
So how do you...
Welcome in. This is the Garden Mama Show, broadcasting live this morning from Fondren Station in my neighborhood. Here in Fondren, we've got the Fondren Bottle Tree Garden Tour going on this weekend. And, you know, the news is everybody in this neighborhood, every generation, every person, every walk of life, every reason that you live here, everybody eventually gets tapped and says, hi, would you come help us do this? Could you? And we're a friendly bunch. We usually say yes. The person who has said yes the most is Jonathan Lee, Fondren Renaissance Foundation's president. Thank you for being here today with me.
Oh, I'm so glad to be here. We are very fortunate and grateful to have this going on in our neighborhood. We live in, I think, one of the most picturesque communities in the city.
I agree.
It is nice to be able to welcome people into our yards.
It really is, isn't it?
It is.
And people forgive us a whole lot in Fondren because we have such a good time.
Oh,
but
I agree.
One thing we really have are good designs. Now, that's not mine. My yard is, in fact, a plant collection, and that's really obvious to everybody. But you have had the same thing so many of us have had. You had a post oak come over in your yard and crash
into
everything.
Oh, yes. So I live in one of the older homes in Fondren. My house was built in 1924, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, we live in the oldest house in Woodland Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And the gardens are pretty established. And there have been a whole host of homeowners, I think. People who have older houses understand that we are just here to take care of them, kind of like
right.
the elderly.
That's
we make
so
sure
true.
That they're standing up straight and
that's right.
and looking good. So I inherited a very robust yard, so to speak, and I spent a lot of time and money keeping it going. So earlier this spring in February, when that tree came down, I think it broke my wife's heart. But
we are
almost back to where we were. A lot of damage, but. You know, it's part of the cost of living in Woodland Hills.
It's why it takes 6 months for me to paint my bathroom. This is an old house. It takes a lot to do everything.
Yep.
And that's really part of what we're showing off. Our neighborhood is not a baby by any means. We've been here a long, long time. My house was built as a single house right after World War II and
mm-hmm.
was duplexed, and then I unduplexed it, so who knows what will happen next. But that's what we do here, is we just live and adapt. Now, I have to tell everybody, because this is indeed the big family, you know, of course, that our producer, Lance, knows everybody, and he knows Jonathan Lee. They went to the same high school.
Well, let me say this about him. I thought he was going to do a 40-yard sprint on that AstroTurf because
it's nice AstroTurf.
Probably one of the fastest guys you've ever met. Now, he may, you know, he's a public figure now and a businessman. But, yeah, he's one of those guys that you don't want him to get away from you because you wouldn't have caught him. And also,
well,
I would say a brilliant man, too. Absolutely.
Oh.
Top
no
of the
question.
Class, great, great man. And I know my sister would want me to tell you hello, Jonathan.
Well, you know, Lance, I sure hope my wife's listening.
Yeah. I'm good at this part of it, man. I can brag on you good.
That's right. We appreciate that. You know, that is one of the things. It's a big place, but it feels like a small town a lot of the time.
Oh yeah.
This morning, I was able to introduce two people who live in Cross Gates to each other. They don't know each other, and now they do. So we have all of that kind of connectivity. Fortunately,
absolutely. I believe that Mississippi is not a state; it's a club.
You're so right.
We definitely all know each other, and you know, one of the great things about living in a place like Fondren, especially here in the city of Jackson, I think it's one of those places where people have made the decision that they're going to stay, and mm-hmm. they're going to invest, and they're going to create the kind of lifestyle that they want for their families.
And so, that brings us to Fondren Forward, which
absolutely.
Is really your initiative, and the biggest piece. I know my friend Sandy Carter's involved in
that's
that
correct.
Part of it. And tell me what y'all are doing. I hear about it, but I'm not there. So
if you don't mind, I'm going to step back just a little bit and mention Fondren Renaissance. The Fondren Renaissance Foundation is really an overlay for mm-hmm. lots of different things that are happening here in Fondren. Of course, there's a business improvement district that helps keep our downtown area safe and beautiful. There are lots of neighborhood associations. There's an umbrella organization that oversees the residential neighborhood associations. So there are all sorts of things happening here. And as the umbrella organization, we thought it was important that we continue to invest in the fabric of the community. And one of the things that we decided to do was start Fondren Forward. And Fondren Forward is really a program focused on how we plan for the next iteration of Fondren.
Mm-hmm.
And the wonderful thing about this community is that it is diverse, both economically and racially. I mean, people from all walks of life live here. It's one of the most diverse neighborhoods mm-hmm. in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to have a planning process whereby we hired a community planner. And we really dreamed about what we want Fondren to be and what we don't want it to be. And we're plotting a path for laying out all the pieces to fill in, you know, the gaps.
That kind of master plan really can make the difference in what, because, you know, organizations of any sort, whether they're umbrella organizations or grassroots neighborhood ones, the personnel and the people involved in them may change. But if everybody knows what the mission's about,
absolutely.
And you've got a master plan going, then sure, you're going to tweak it. I mean, 10 years, 20 years, things change. But to be able to look at that with that kind of vision, I think, is what makes the biggest difference in an area of whether you're going to be living there, starting a business, whatever your interest in it is.
That's right. And, I mean, you want to talk about commitment. Sandy Carter, who you mentioned, God bless him, has led the charge to raise money to make this successful. In less than a year, we've raised almost $400,000 to not only fund the planning but also the implementation of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that's the other important part of this.
Yeah, we can talk a lot, but if we don't,
absolutely.
We don't have the juice to go forward, what are we doing? You
yep.
know. But he is the person. His garden is one of the loveliest in Fondren.
And I agree.
And I've loved it a long time.
If you are also a student of architecture, his home is a town's, H-Town's home. It's absolutely gorgeous. So definitely stop in and
mm-hmm,
look at that one.
Mm-hmm.
One of the
that's another conversation, Lance.
Yes,
we can do
is.
The architecture of Fondren on another program.
You know how
absolutely.
I feel about it, man.
That's right. Hey, we've got the state's only Frank Lloyd Wright house.
Hey, so, that's right.
Yeah,
that's I love
right.
it. Now, I'm a big Art Deco fan, so you know. You got
absolutely.
Me at hello there.
but the whole deal around the plan is, again, I think everyone recognizes the amount of momentum we have here. And what really has fueled that momentum is the fact that we have looked across the community, I think, to plan this. This is not an idea or an initiative of a precious few. I mean, we've had countless public meetings, and we've had very frank conversations. If you want a Trader Joe's in the middle of the neighborhood, then do you really want the kind of population density that requires
us? I realize we will have the parking eventually, but no.
So, you know, we have to have those kinds of conversations.
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
Every plan, you know, is, I think, develop with the best intentions, but how do we honestly hold ourselves accountable for what we want versus what we're willing to give up to have it?
Exactly. People are persuadable, but sometimes we do have a tendency to go along until we realize that it's not something we want to do. That's too late. You need to go to the meeting where they're planning stuff. You know?
Right.
Don't wait 5 years and then complain about it. Get yourself involved, whether it's your neighborhood, your church, your town, whatever you're doing. that, you know, as they all famously tell you, you can't just sit on the sidelines.
Absolutely. You know? And this is also an opportunity for us as people who live in this community to get ahead of some things. You know, oftentimes we find ourselves in a position where we're just constantly naysaying every development and every opportunity. But this, we've got
you
to
are not a naysayer.
That's
Jonathan
exactly
Lee,
right.
You are the Fondren Renaissance Foundation president.
Thank you.
You have been so great to have us here.
Yeah.
I thank you so very much for coming out this morning, because I know you got other things you'd rather be doing. But guess what? The Renaissance has done so much to get us going here, and the Bottle Tree Tour is just the latest example. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Come see us.
Thank you much, y'all. Right. We'll be back in the next hour with more of the Garden Mama Show.
We are advocacy, a century of winds, protecting private property rights, advancing technology, sustaining our land, conserving our natural resources, all to pass on to the next generation. We are the Mississippi Farm Bureau Federation, 100 years and counting. Become a member today at msfb.org.
Give your customers a whole home energy upgrade. The Propane Energy Pod Builder Incentive Program. What's the Propane Energy Pod? It's a total home energy upgrade that combines high-efficiency propane gas appliances to meet a home's major energy needs and delivers superior comfort and efficiency compared with all electric homes. Not only is it good for homeowners, it's good for builders, too. All propane homes, on average, are valued up to 5% higher than all electric homes. Energy for everyone. Propane. Visit mspropane.com.
Do you suffer?
From the trees over your head to the lawn you hate to mow and everything green in between, Garden Mama's here to help you keep on growing. Still the empress of everything green. Here's your horticulture maven, Garden Mama Nellie Neal, on Super Talk Mississippi.
Welcome to Fondren Yard. I'm sorry. There it is. Okay. Welcome to Fondren Yard. I did, but it just didn't do till now. We have a little bit of a problem. Good morning, y'all. Thank you very, very much. You look at your buttons, you turn them up. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. We are live and in color, in lots of color, this morning at Fondren Yard. There's a piece of pizza walking around here. Anyway, folks are starting to join us for the broadcast as well as for the garden tour this morning. The Fondren Bottle Tree Garden Tour cranks up today and goes on all the way through tomorrow. Lots and lots to do. You can see lots about it. FondrenGardenTour.com. Someone reminded me that I did not tell you there is actually an event tonight. So if you like gardens in the dark, this will be a well lit opportunity for you to go and see about that. Doesn't that sound like
fun?
Gardens
in the dark,
because you know we have gardens that have really nice architectural things and nice lit gardens, and also over the bridges and one thing and another, lights and whatnot. And it's a good opportunity just for another experience.
Sounds like it could be a very nice romantic date night as well.
I don't doubt that it could be.
Somebody's looking for a nice little date night with their wife or girlfriend or boyfriend. That sounds very nice.
I'm all about it.
Hey, I got a couple of texts for you this
morning.
Thank
you. What you got?
Well,
what's happening?
First and foremost, Locke Ward was listening in, and you know he's been out cleaning up this morning, so we wanted to pat him on the back. He's been over at County Line today.
Thank you, Locke.
Yeah, he's listening in to the Garden Mama. So we also have a birthday from Miss Ashley. She says her daughter Arrington it's her birthday today. So and I wanted to wish Miss Arrington a happy birthday. Thanks, Ashley, for sharing that with us. We also have Mary. Yeah, she says, good morning. My Althea looks like they're dying. They quit blooming and the leaves have fallen off. These are all in one area, and Marion Clinton is the one with that comment or question. What should she do, Garden Mama?
Okay. Well, We have some things that are doing what we call premature defoliation. That is to say they're losing their leaves sooner maybe than we would expect. Altheas we usually think of as coming along later after the maples lose their leaves, after, you know, some of the others lose their leaves. We expect that we would have the altheas do that. But when they drop them all, as long as the leaves are in good condition, it's not really a problem. You just let them wait till next spring. You may decide you want to do a little trimming on them at the beginning of next spring. But what will happen is they will get insect damage. And if that's what's causing the leaves to fall off, you certainly need to rake them out of the area so you're not creating a way for the problem to continue next year. If you feel like they had leaf spot, if they were had a fungus disease, that's, again, so much you have to do in the spring. We have trees like dogwoods and Japanese maples and, yes, the altheas that can get a leaf spot that actually begins in the springtime, and you don't see the results until summer, and sometimes you don't see them until the leaves all fall off and you look and go, huh, they got spots on them. And that's how you know you had that. You treat for that by inoculating the plant in the spring with a fungicide. And that's really where the difference comes in. We can't do anything about fungus anyway, but we sometimes can prevent it. So that's what I would consider.
Excellent, excellent. And Dave and Ripley, Ripley High School football is having a rough season after a great season last year. But let me tell you, Dave, he's a gardener. You know, when things like that happen, you get in the garden, right?
Yes, and that's right.
Yeah, so he's
got my therapy.
He shared us a beautiful picture with a vine that it almost looks like morning glories, but they're kind of red. And there's this beautiful old bell, like a dinner bell, ding-a-ling-ling-ling, and it's absolutely beautiful. We always have Trey sending us great images. Thank you.
Hey, Trey. Thanks, Dave.
And then Paula, she says, good morning. And I think she may be down there or close to
you. We're waving right now.
Yeah, yeah,
she's right here.
Good deal. Well,
I don't know how to tell y'all this. The pizza has just arrived, and it has a voice.
It's like the pizza ate him, I mean, with that shirt on.
I'm telling you, the hat is pretty cool, though.
Yeah, I like it. When you see peaches swing by to get something, you know it's going to be the pineapple sunglasses. So
always, always. And he is here today. We're talking to Mark Patrick. He is our friend Peaches. But what we're talking about with him always is the different ways, that we can get. I can't do that one. You just have to be loud. The question is always, what's next? And Mark, you have been planting succulents in pumpkins. Y'all, that sounds crazy. It's beautiful.
I hot glued them, actually.
Say that again.
I hot glued them.
Wow.
You cut the roots off the bottom, and then you hot glue them. And the moisture that they hold, they'll stay pretty till.
I bet they'll poke out roots
Christmas.
Too.
Probably.
Mm-hmm, probably will. It's a beautiful decoration, beautiful ornament. And for people who have a lot of love for succulents, we're always looking for another way to display them. So
right.
That's a wonderful, wonderful chance.
And I had to laugh because the president of that garden club, the original garden club, she was like, that hot glue, do they like that? And I'm like, well, probably not, but they'll be fine.
They didn't talk to you. They didn't tell you.
No. I didn't hear anything.
I'll bet you that once you seal that bottom, because that's really what you do, of course, when you root succulents, is to make sure that you let the bottom callus over. And so doing that even with glue, I'll bet you it promotes the next node up to send out some roots. So eventually that thing's going to pop out of its pumpkin, and you'll lift them all out and plant them somewhere.
And I hot glued liberated cotton from Bolton, Mississippi. You know, and
is that like a handful reindeer off of a
moss.
Cotton?
I think that's
plant.
Exactly what he's talking
that's
about.
A handful off a cotton plant, folks.
I think there was no GoPro. There was no GoPro to tell us about that. That's funny.
And my number one employee, Jason, is like, I'm not going to help you commit a crime. And I'm like, it's in the ditch. You know? So I assumed it would be okay to get a couple of cotton
balls. Well, I'm sure that's true. I have known people who would stop on the side of the road and pick them up, you know, that fell off the truck because they wanted to make things out of those balls. They're very pretty.
I might have taken a selfie.
Blue jeans out of it, you know, on the side of the road.
That's a whole other thing.
Hey, one question we do have from the text line, the 662. What can I plant on the north side of my house that only gets a few hours in the morning of sunlight? Something that is decorative also.
Well, there are a couple of choices. If you want the easiest thing to do and probably the most effective, it's going to be hardy ferns. You've got Christmas ferns and all kinds of things like that that will be green all year long. They may change a little bit of their color, but they're basically green and they're 2 feet tall. So yeah. if we want something taller, or if we want something that's even less work, cast iron plant is pretty hard to beat.
Love that plant.
You know, and
love
it,
that plant.
It might even plant both of them together. Now, on the other hand, if you're trying to get the ground to be covered because you've got, you know, too much wet in there, it needs some help. It's a great place for the good old-fashioned English ivy. And
right.
I know people don't like English ivy anymore. It's still a good ground cover in the right circumstances.
And you know it is the South, and if you don't say it, you know, you might get a note.
That's true. Somebody will send you a note.
Yeah.
Southern Shield Fern.
Love that
is
one.
Another good choice for that kind of environment. And if it's really, really too dark and nothing will grow there, if the shade is so dense that underneath, next to the house or wherever it is you're trying to fill in the space, it's just that dark, that's really the place for hardscape. That's a place
right.
for a bench and some, you know, some really vibrant color to brighten up the area and leave it be pretty all year and give you a nice retreat.
How about a big, pretty pot?
Big, pretty container there full of
go.
Something. You can
container,
change it, you
not
know.
Pot, sorry.
Or you can actually, in my case, I have one container that I don't plant.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like the way it looks.
Yeah.
You know, it's just an ornament.
And I have one that I keep garden tools in.
See? That's
it.
It's another place you
tall.
might do that in the dark, you know,
right.
in the darker part of your garden. But there always are there's always an alternative, there's always an option and another and always a way to use things. One of the things that was revealed this week at my house is my love of something you can't see.
Right.
I want you to have to walk over here and walk around something and see something. And if it's surprising, even better, you know. It's,
right, right.
Don't worry, there's no flamingos with skeletons riding them or any of those things at my house.
You
although
know,
I am thinking about it.
I have a few of those. Lance, you need to come trick-or-treating at my house. Please.
You know, I was looking last night at what I really wanted to be, you know, when I grow up, and I figured that I could do that for Halloween finally. But I want to, you know, I found the Crocodile Dundee.
There you go.
And it was like the legitimate one with the real felt hat and the alligator teeth and then the real alligator leather, you know. I'd have to drop a couple clams on it, but I think I could pull off the Crocodile Dundee, you know, just wearing the vest and the hat and the pants. Don't have a t-shirt on. But yeah, I was really looking hard last night. You know, when you get paid, you always start looking at stuff like that.
You're
like, okay.
That's right. Well, and here's the deal. If his hat, because his hat, Paul's hat in that world, is just as famous as the Indiana Jones hat.
Exactly.
People immediately know who you are when you
You gotta go with the hat.
Exactly.
And I got
that's
a big
the
knife.
One investment.
That's not a knife.
The rest of it, you know, the rest of it you can make.
Well, I got the knife. That's not a knife. This is a knife, matey.
The dingo's got my baby.
Oh, no. Here we go. I have no control over any of this, y'all. You recognize
that.
Yeah.
I'm a Crocodile Dundee lover, so don't think that this is like a, you know, a passing
fad. No, it's
fad.
Not. It's not a new thing at all.
No, this,
it's not a new thing.
Like I got all even the Los Angeles one. I love it with the kid and everything. All three of them are classics to me. So, yeah.
Well, I've already picked out all five of my costumes.
Well, yeah. What are they? I figured
and
you
I
had
own
more
them.
Than one.
Oh, I have a few. Yeah. Anyway, back to gardening.
But what are you going to be? Are you going to be a turnip? Are you going to be a carrot? Are you going to be cabbage? What's up?
Lance, it is top secret.
Okay.
There's only a handful of people that know what I'm going
to
be.
You got to be invited to the party.
If you think about it, you'll know.
Well, I believe it would be a peach.
I don't think you want to know any of those things.
I'd say it's a peach.
I will confess that I have been a fortune teller many, many Halloweens, and that is probably the most consistent that you would ever get from me. I will not be a pizza or a pineapple or
a cactus.
No, none of those things. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I might, however, got to tell y'all this. This is so much fun. I had no idea. If you like me, love your lizards, and you get out in the garden and you realize that when they hatch, they're, you know, like half an inch.
You're
in the next
so little.
Hour.
Oh, yeah, they're cute. So cute. Yeah.
Yeah, an hour later, they're, you know, an inch long, and the next day they're 3 inches long, and the next thing you know, the cats are chasing them, and it's a whole thing. None of mine are scuba divers, and I'm very disappointed.
Well, you put little snorkels on.
Binghamton University says that there are semi-aquatic lizards. I did not know that. And the pictures are a fascinating thing, but let me describe to you what happens. In order to breed, this is another reason to go to Costa Rica, by the way, because that's where they're native. They use a bubble. They put a bubble over their head to be able to stay underwater, but they breathe their own bubble. It's their own bubble.
Wow.
Why can't I do that?
That's kind of like the squirrel on SpongeBob.
Doesn't that sound like fun? It's really something that
we... Put a bubble over your head and
go. You got to be able to go underwater and avoid your predators, and I'm sure that it creates a pretty fascinating look of things, but I'm
there's something to think
tickled.
About.
I'm really tickled. Yeah. Water animals are semi-aquatic lizards in the tropical forests of southern Costa Rica, and when their predators come after them on land, they get in the water, blow a bubble over their heads, and hide out.
Yeah.
Wow. And vice versa, come off the land when they need to.
Not everybody knows that we're going to retire in Costa Rica, do they?
The prices there just went up another notch.
I know, right? They're going to charge admission.
For those of you... We've got to find what they don't have, and we've got to do that. Like if
that's right.
Like a porta potty business or something.
What you don't know is that the expats in Costa Rica are now getting tired of there being so many Americans, and they're moving on to the west coast of Africa.
We're out of here.
They're out.
Yeah.
Take the boat across.
It gives all of us nice places to visit. That's what it amounts to. Because we live in Fondren. Thank you very much.
Well, Trey sent a funny image, as he always does. And this one is a picture of a bunch of cats in an alley, probably 30 of them. And there's this beautiful greenery up against a nice gray wall. So I've set the image for you.
Yes.
And then so the caption is, "Let's plant catnip in the garden. It prevents mosquitoes." Well, what could go wrong with that, one said. And now you got 30 cats you're feeding.
They're pretty. The saddest thing that ever happened to me was finding out that the people that shake the treat bag on the television
bring
my cats from the other end of the house. It's not me shaking the treat bag.
Yeah,
it's the people on the television.
Yeah, well, you know, we have a thief cat that loves drinking straws. You can't leave a drinking straw. You'll step on a rug and there's a lump and it's a drinking straw.
It's always straw.
The other night it was a fortune cookie.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Listen now, I don't want us to get... We've got an interview coming up at 9:30. We're going to talk to Rebecca Thompson. I'm really excited about that. Her home is on the tour and, frankly, just another one that's so much prettier than mine, and I really appreciate it very much. But meanwhile, I want to talk about October. I want to talk about pansies. Why do we still have Johnny Jump-Ups, pansies with faces, pansies that are plain? We have violas and we have panolas. Why do we have all of those? Because we love this plant so much.
Oh, yes.
We have to have all of its relatives.
You know, sadly enough, though, the panola is vanishing.
I know.
I don't
people didn't take a people didn't
no,
take to it.
No. And, you know, everybody tried. But you get so much for your buck with pansies.
This is the thing. The pansies are going to bloom. Here's the difference. We talked a little bit before the other day about petunias being more available and longer blooming and all the things now into the cooler weather, but their flowers do not react as well as pansies do to that inevitable winter nasty weather.
Right.
And the petunias will take about a week to come back around again. But the pansies, as long as you keep their flowers that have faded a little bit plucked off or picked and put into a flower vase or something, you know, whatever you want to do with them, you really will get flowers again almost immediately.
Right.
You know why? Because we fertilize them.
Yeah, they're hungry.
People forget that things that are growing, even though it's wintertime, still use fertilizer. And that's why we do that. Even though my joke is, unless it's too icy for you to walk up to the pansies, you need to fertilize them every 10 days or so all winter long. And then that's how you end up with that plant that started out as a 4-inch pot and is now a foot across and covered in flowers.
Right.
You have to keep feeding it. Because it's going to keep growing, but it has used up all of its nutrients unless you give it a chance. It's important.
It's like keeping a bottle of espresso around, you know, a little liquid feed, and every time you walk by, you say, "Hey, morning."
Yeah, just a little
morning.
I want to give another shout out because I have this here this morning. My friends at Electric Dagger.
Absolutely. They're here across the way.
It's a tattoo shop. We do everything in Fondren. We have some of everything.
I think
it's
you really could probably put one of those Twinkie espressos in that. It would taste delicious. You didn't bring one with you, did you?
I did not. The one I brought you is the only one I have actually ever
delicious.
Seen.
Twinkie espresso.
Yep. Listen now, we got to step away. This is such a great morning. We are live at Fondren Yard, kicking off the Bottle Tree Garden Tour, welcoming everybody in to come and see us in Fondren and celebrating the fact that I've lived in Fondren longer than I've been married, almost longer than I've had my horticulture degree, but not quite, and certainly longer than I could have imagined when I got here. You get somewhere you like, you stay. We'll be right back.
Sainte Marie avec un joli fait, c'est dans le grand danger, la balle de la volée. Va pas les nous avoir, non pas du matin, toujours dans le printemps, toujours les temps passés.
Up before the dawn and home long after the sun sets. We pass this farm work ethic on to our children, too. They have their chores just like yours, but we also raise animals. Taking care of these animals helps them understand just how important what we do on this farm is for their future and Mississippi's.
Another way Mississippi farmers grow what's important to your life, the farm families of Mississippi.
Hi, I'm Billy Taylor, Executive Director at the Mississippi Department of Rehabilitation Services. Our agency works to help those we serve prepare for today and plan for the future. One way we do that is through the Mississippi ABLE program. This program provides the opportunity for individuals with disabilities to invest their money in tax-advantaged savings accounts without the fear of losing their public benefits. You can learn more or sign up by visiting MississippiABLE.com. That's MississippiABLE.com.
Garden Mom.
Live, broadcasting live this morning from Fondren Yard. Thank you so much for being here. I'm happy to welcome in a friend of mine that in Fondren you don't always know who your friends are. You know who they are because you met them and they're in Fondren. But when you get a chance to talk to them, you have a whole lot in common. Rebecca Thompson, good morning. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Nellie. It's so nice to finally be here with you.
We've worked a couple of times to do this, and we finally made it today.
We did.
Your home is on the tour, and I'm so pleased to tell people that they not only want to see it, they want to meet you. So thank you for coming, and thank you for letting us share your home with the world. Talk to me about your garden.
I would love to talk to you about my garden. So our home is was our home growing up. We grew up in this in the home, and when my parents died, we took the home over, and so have been gardening in the home for a long time, either with my mother or now currently.
That's a lot of consistency. That's wonderful.
With my husband. The inconsistency is that it used to have so many trees. Mm-hmm. And over the years, either due to natural causes, trees falling, or having to take down trees because they're sick,
well,
or
and when,
renovation.
When a tree becomes a hazard, it's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
And so that's really... Sometimes that's the best reason to add on to your house is so you can get rid of the dangerous trees, you know.
So we have a sunny yard now instead of a shady yard, and that has been so different.
It's delightful, though, isn't it?
It's delightful. We have planted more trees. We did love the trees. So we have planted a live oak in 2020 that is coming along. I bet it we planted it when it was probably 6 feet high. I bet it's taller than 12 feet. Now.
That's wonderful.
So it's coming along.
You know, they say we plant trees for the next generation. And
I think that's true.
In terms of the love that you have for the house and the property, it makes a whole lot of sense because you want it to continue to have some of that same vibe. Even though now it has yours, it has your sunny disposition and your sunny point of view. And that's delightful,
but
too.
But you know, we are just a speck on this planet when you think of it that way. So,
that's
yes.
True.
Yes.
That's very true.
So we also planted up red leaf maple that my sister-in-law gave us from her yard.
Mm-hmm.
It's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
And then redbud.
Oh, nice.
I think it'll be beautiful.
Some of the prettiest yellow color in our fall are the redbud trees. And we don't think about that. We think about, oh, the heart-shaped leaves are lovely, and we think, oh, the flowers are beautiful. But when they take on that bright yellow that a lot of them have this fall, it is so pretty.
Beautiful.
People say we don't have any fall color. We have lots. And not just me and my shirts.
Bright yellow. Good for today.
When people come to visit what are they going to see? Are they? They'll see your young trees, but what do you have? You have pots, you have beds, or what kind of situation do you have?
Okay, so we have a wonderful spot right on Old Canton Road. We get to see people all the time, so they may see what they've already seen, but they'll get to see it up close and personal.
A little slower.
Yeah. A little bit slower. And I think our main structure began with some hollies and some shrubbery around the house, and then we've kind of filled it in with a big variety of things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Let's say yupine, hollies, and boxwoods have the structure, and then we've got just dots of hydrangeas, sasanquas, azaleas, hostas, roses. I put a plumbago in a pot in the front mm-hmm, yard, and it mm-hmm. has been beautiful.
See, that puts you with color all the way through the year.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that's lovely.
We have a snowball viburnum in a spot that has been given me. You know, I planted it a year and a half ago. So it went through the drought last mm-hmm. summer and then the freeze. And then the spring was very unhappy. In fact, I was begging for help of what to do, and Felder said, cut it back. And so I did, and it is around July. It started getting healthy, leaves mm-hmm. looking good, growing.
I love when a plant will do that, because sometimes there is that desperation. You know, what do I do now? Well, we're not going to yank it out of the ground. We're going to try cutting it. Sometimes we try picking it up and putting it somewhere else. But most of the time in that situation, we know it's the right environment. It's just been a terrible year. We're just going to cut it back and see what happens. My limelight went through that, the hydrangea
went through that.
It's, and now it has a few leaves and some really nice brown flowers on it, but it was really beautiful for a minute, so I'm not going to let go of it. I just have to keep doing that, cutting it back and encouraging that base to grow back up.
I'm hanging on to my brown blooms of my limelight also. And a snowball viburnum is blooming now.
Yeah, some of them. I've heard recently that somebody else told me that theirs was blooming a little further south than us, and I don't know why that is, because ordinarily that is an early spring bloomer with no other point of view. You know,
I think it's because it just came alive
in July. It probably wants to let you know that it's not dead.
So anyway, so that is nice. So I've been working with roses. I did not grow up working with roses, mm-hmm. and that's been a lot of
you
fun
have some
to
beautiful
me.
Ones.
Thank you. I've got some Julia Childs out front. I've got Carefree Celebration roses along the side front, that along Tyrone, that I love. I love the color.
It's
struggling
nice
a little bit with them. They're blooming now, but they have, you know, I guess I'm learning a little bit about roses. The big ones that I planted are no longer there, but some of their subsidiaries are, or mm-hmm. I've propagated mm-hmm. some, I've rooted some, and so I still have some. I'm hoping they'll get big, like,
you know,
the old ones.
They are a fun plant to, roses as a group are a fun plant to grow, and luckily for all of us, they do propagate fairly easily, because we always end up doing that. I remember looking at the beautiful, I think it's Peggy Martin, that you have up around a beautiful arbor, and it's one of the plants that I'm really crazy about. People who don't happen to know this story, after Katrina, this rose is a person named Peggy Martin went home to her family's house in Plaquemine Parish, Louisiana, far south of New Orleans, and in 14 feet of water in front of the house, this rose was sticking up blooming. And so because of the devastation of that time, of course, she took it as a sign of hope and a sign of promise and a future. And as a result, the garden clubs all across the South have propagated that rose and have put it everywhere many, many times, with funding going to replenishing things like the botanical gardens in New Orleans and further south and things like that. But the rose turns out to be so tough. And she's never looked as pretty as she looks on your arm, because she's so neat and clever. But usually this is a big old sprawly thing. In my garden, she takes off and climbs up the magnolia tree, you know, and takes over everywhere. But she's so well and mannered, and it made me feel like maybe there's a hope for mine to be a little more sophisticated down the way, because yours was so pretty.
I'm so glad you said it, told the story and attributed it to being a sign of hope. I do think that is so true. It is beautiful, and I have rooted a mm-hmm, bunch of those. Mm-hmm. So
we pass them around.
We will pass them around this evening.
Interestingly enough, I know that there will be There'll be similar things that happen as we work through this latest problem that folks are having in North Carolina particularly. But, you know, we look at how bad that is. We need to understand there's other places that have just as flooded and are getting worse as time goes by. But we need to understand, too, that most of our plants are resilient. And in the gardeners who tend them are even more so. So I know that we look at things like that and we are happy that that flower is blooming, or we're happy we can pass it on to somebody who lost theirs, or any number of those things. That's just part of the language of gardening.
It really is. It is. And we do send out our hope and prayers.
Absolutely.
To the people in North
Carolina. I love that you're
North
gardening
Carolina.
Where your mother gardened. I have plants that my mother and grandmother grew, but I don't live where they lived. Did they grow hydrangeas? Is that where that came from for you, or is that something that you've added now that you have a little more sun in there?
She had some hydrangeas. She had, as I said, there were many more trees, and she had flower beds around the trees, mm-hmm. especially in the mm-hmm. side yard, and she had a lot of azaleas and a lot of hydrangeas. We have had to almost totally redo so many things. Plants have life cycles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
let me just give y'all a tip. When you go to a fancy public garden, those plants that you see that were the same as you saw 20 years ago have been propagated and replanted in there since then. Trust me.
Oh.
There are people who work behind the scenes to keep things looking like they look, you know.
And that's so good to hear.
Otherwise,
because
they don't.
They do look wonderful.
Between the pruning and the weather and the different things that happen, hydrangeas are not hard to grow, but they can be very fickle from time to time. You know, they'll start blooming and then other times they don't.
Oh, mine gets so hot. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
In the backyard, my husband, I'll have to give a shout out to my husband. He wanted to grow a vegetable garden.
Oh, good.
So we've got four
See,
raised
beds. See, that sounds
beds.
Good for something.
Yeah, I know it.
It is.
I know. And I was thinking about our wonderful trees that we've planted, and when they grow up and provide all this shade, well, we'll have to redo again. But that it'll be time to. It'll be
well,
time.
And
somebody else will get to.
Sometimes we end up putting that in on. This is one of the other things I love about Fondren. We care about one another very much, but we do not have formal homeowner association rules here. As a result, you can plant your vegetables in the front yard if you want to. There are places you can't
to.
Do that. But if he wants to, and when the trees grow, you may find them in the front yard. That's okay. It's Fondren.
It was okay, but not with his wife. So they're in the backyard. But they look great.
My vision of gardening is always that the front is supposed to look a little bit more pulled together. And vegetable gardens do not always look that way. But I'm kind of over it. I kind of understand you got to go where the sun is, you know. So I'm kind of on the fence with that one.
I think you're right, actually. I think there were just too many other things that I wanted to hog for mm-hmm. the front and the mm-hmm. side.
You like perennials, too. I know that you grow quite a few.
Oh, I'm trying so hard. Mm-hmm. And my sister-in-law from Chesapeake, dear Frances, is a fabulous gardener. And she has given me some canna lilies that are doing so well,
mm-hmm.
some ajuca, some bridal creeper. Now, that's a slow grower.
Mm-hmm.
But vinca, Lenten roses, which are...
Lenten roses are one of the most overlooked plants in the universe. They're so beautiful.
Oh,
people,
I think so.
We should all have more of them. I have one, but I should have 40. I mean, it's a plant that blooms in the winter. The bloom lasts for months, and it grows in barely any sun. Morning sun or a little bit of afternoon sun, either way, is fine. It'll still put on flowers. And it's funny because the hellebores are so popular in other climates. And I've had a couple people tell me that their gardens now in Tennessee, for example, are too warm for the Lenten roses that they have grown, for the hellebores that they've grown. So I've been telling them to grow ours because ours is the most beloved because we can grow it here. And the whole rest of the family would rather be in northern England someplace. But we have the opportunity now that things are changing to share with other folks and tell them what works. That's what you're doing.
Well, and I think we need to save them for each other. They're rather expensive at the garden
center. They're hard to propagate. That's why.
Oh, they're hard to propagate.
Yeah.
Okay. And some of my, they're growing kind of slowly. They really are.
They are slow. They're a slow plant, but they're one that will be there for a very, very, very long time. And that's really cool.
Oh,
for those of you who have been listening to us chatter and wondering what in the world we're talking about, my guest this morning is Rebecca Thompson. We're talking about the Fondren Bottle Tree Garden Tour, but particularly a about her garden that she shares with her husband. They garden in a property that was her parents, and quite frankly, how many of us wouldn't like to go back to our childhood home and fix a few things, you know, in the yard? We like my father's famous in our family for planting azaleas that were too tall for the front of the bed, and that was an ongoing, you know, issue. We would all love to go back and dig those up and put them someplace else. He grew a mimosa tree that was too tall for its space as well, but we sure did love to climb it, you know.
We had one at our former childhood home. Mm-hmm. Yes, they were good for climbing.
We're really very lucky in that that whole notion in landscaping of the sense of place is, I think, easier here in the South than it is in other places. Not only do we have things like your mama's garden, and we have Eudora Welty's diaries and all the things to tell us what people have done, we have memories of it, but we also even have some of the same plants, not the same physical plant, but we propagate the same ones and move them forward. Every now and then we have to get a new something, but sometimes it's really important. I think it's always very important to go back and look at how the garden is structured. And when you've got the room for those four trees, I say plant them. Mm-hmm. I say bring them back, because we do want more in the environment. And Fondren's known for having a lot of trees.
They do have big, beautiful trees. They really do. We want to hang on to them.
I have one that I don't want to fall over, but the others are doing okay. We had such a rough go in the drought. We lost a lot of things, and a lot of things, as you say, came on and started up again, you know. But we're going to let you step away and go get your garden ready, but I got to tell you, this has been so much fun. I look forward to sitting around those roses and talking some more with you. Rebecca Thompson, the Fondren Bottle Tree Garden Tour, rolls on. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to stand on this corner for a minute, and we'll be right back.
Lord, can't I see? Great and all, coming back.
I'm Sammy the Shovel, reminding you how important it is to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig anywhere in or around any homeowner's yard. It doesn't matter if you're putting in a new mailbox, installing a fence, French drain, sprinkler system, even a flower bed. You need to call 811 at least 3 working days before you dig, or you could end up responsible for a water line leak, utility line with gas or propane, or even worse. Safety is in your hands. Call 811 every dig, every time. You dig?
Hello, I'm Sean Tindall, Commissioner of the Mississippi Department of Public Safety. Since 2021, Mississippi has seen a 25% reduction in fatalities involving crashes with commercial motor vehicles. Many of those crashes could have been avoided. DPS, through its MHP's Motor Carrier Unit and the Commercial Transportation Enforcement Division, is partnering with Big Rig Truckers to conduct safety checks across our state for the Trooper and Trucker Safety Initiative. The Department of Public Safety and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration are working together to keep our highways safe for everyone. Thank you, and drive safely.
Mark the day.
That's a good one. I like that. That's
well,
a very
it's welcome
good
to
one.
October. You know,
yes, it is.
Pumpkin,
it's absolutely, absolutely.
Could not resist.
I'm very fond of it. You are, as they would say, the DJ of the moment, and we appreciate you.
I am the Mahatma of music.
That's right. We have this is not tell you what, you bring me the teeny tiniest set crease of flower that has ever happened, and I actually like it. I think it's beautiful. Right. This is one of those plants, y'all. You may call it Setcrisa. You may call it Purple Heart. You may call it Tradescantia. You may call it Wandering Jew. You may call it Creeping Jesus. It doesn't really matter. You can call it whatever you want, but grow some.
Moses in a boat.
If it's bigger, it'll be Moses in a boat. But the version of it that I'm looking at is not that one. Is that better? Hey, say something.
Better?
Say something. There he is.
Good morning.
We have some folks here who have come to visit and sit with us while we're doing this beautiful, wonderful opportunity to be at Fondren Yard and talk about all of the things that are going on today. Great question about the cherry tree. The drought has had such a terrible impact on so many of our trees, but I really do think the fruit trees took it harder than most. For example, I have a red oak, and it'll drop every leaf over 6 months. You know, it doesn't all happen at one time. But last year after the drought, it dropped everything all at once. So I knew that the tree was damaged. Since then, it has begun to shed bark, and I have to go out and do little songs and chants about which direction it's going to fall, you know, to see how it's going to work. But the cherry tree and some of the other fruit trees that I have seen have really had... They browned out completely, they dropped every bit of their leaves, and now they have come back a little bit. But sometimes in our enthusiasm for taking care of something, we're almost too nice to it. For example, in the case of this one, I have seen the brand new lawn right up to the base of the tree. So if you're taking care of the lawn, the tree is not only going to suffer, but if it's a brand new lawn, you're really taking good care of it. And that's a lot of nitrogen load to put onto that tree. In general, around a tree, particularly when you're trying to salvage, but any tree really, needs a space around the base of it that is not covered up in anything except mulch. And that's about 2 feet outside a 2 foot perimeter around that tree. Does it need to be bigger, Mark? Maybe it needs to be bigger sometimes.
Maybe three feet.
Yeah. But the point is, you want to be able to get there to cultivate it, to mulch it, to fertilize it, and not have it compete with the lawn. Sometimes you'll see the tree is beautiful and the lawn around it never will get green. That's because the tree is winning.
Right.
But other times the tree is bright, the tree is not so great and the lawn is bright green. You'll see that particularly in crepe myrtles, and you know that there's just been too much nitrogen load. It hasn't worked
that?
Out.
It is summer, or it's fall in Mississippi.
Yes.
Because I just got dive bombed by something.
This is bug
That's
city.
Probably going to happen all day.
This is bug city.
Well, quit wearing bourbon, man gel, like.
That's the, right. Yeah. That's right. Go back to the
How
axe.
Did you know?
Go I know. You gave axe. Me a. That's you right. gave me some of that stuff.
Oh, I did give you some. Yeah, for your birthday.
Somebody That's reminded right. me Thank that you. I'm the host of this program a little while ago. Y'all are funny. I'm telling you, there's a middle-of-the-night broadcast that I just wake these people up and talk to them and see what they say. It could be fun. It could be lots of fun. When you come to my garden today, you will see Mark, you will see me, you will see my friend who has, she may or may not, she has a plant sale going on, but she's pretty much got them all sold before they ever get here. I don't know how you do that. I've got to figure out her strategy. But we've got lots of things to show you, mostly plants in containers, but also a couple of new baffles and things of I'm all about reduce, reuse, recycle, but in my world, it's use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without. So we hardly throw away anything.
Wow.
You will get to see the best-looking ladder that ever got smashed by a tree limb in your life. We have that. You'll get to see a new form. Last year, if you came last year, we had a burning going, but we've got a better one now. This is the idea of the urban contained burning. We've got a different water system for the recycling of all of the water from the air conditioner. So you want to see fancy plants, we got like 19 gardens you can go to.
It is gonna
but you
be.
Want to see crazy garden stuff, you can come to my garden.
Yeah, I promise not to dip my head into your
No, you can do that.
Bucket.
It's the coldest water on my property.
It's
in the condensation bucket,
it.
And it's really very effective. It helps on a cold, on a really hot day. I don't know how long. It's really funny. The other, we used up all the water in the big container, but again, I'm trying to use up what I've got.
And
it hasn't rained in the last month very much. It rained a couple of times, but it hasn't rained enough to really fill that one. So the air conditioner water is the bigger one. It's a lot going on in Fondren. It's been our pleasure to be here, and it's so kind of them to invite us. Fondren Renaissance Foundation, Trustmark Bank, Lakeland Yard and Garden, y'all are just the best. Thank
can
you
I
very
call
much.
Out somebody?
You always can.
Ariel.
Thank you, Ariel.
My neighbor.
That's right. Our new best friend.
We just found out we live houses away from each other.
Our new best friend.
Yeah.
And of course, we can't do any of this without Gary and without Lance. Y'all keep us on the air, and not only that, keep us in a good mood by acting as if we're doing a good job. So we appreciate that.
I give all the credit goes to Gary. You know, he is something
Gary.
Else. He does not get enough pats on the back for what he does. And on top of that, he's an amazing guy, and Talladega's going on today, and he's hanging with us.
You know, so. That's right.
I should have been a NASCAR driver.
I did see some absolutely beautiful photographs of Talladega before dawn this morning, and I thought about you, Gary, because it's so beautiful. I can see why you'd want to be out there on that mid part. You know,
he's over there
stuff.
Grinding his teeth, waiting.
He's trying to get out of here.
He's wondering who's going to be the winner today. You know, that's what number one on his list.
That's always like, that.
Who's winning this baby? Who's winning it?
Well, and there's so many things that we compete about, and so many things that we try to do better than one another at, other than maybe looking next door and saying my zinnias are prettier than his zinnias. Most of us as gardeners just appreciate what each other does and how we get into it and how we do it. I certainly don't have I can't tell you there's ever been a day I hadn't learned something. Yesterday's lesson in truly was that all of the things that I'm carrying around in have actually cut my hands up, and I didn't know they would do that. I didn't know rust would cut you, but it will.
Yes.
So I learned a lesson on that one. But I also learned a few things about what plants I've got my night blooming cereus have all bloomed out, and they don't like being in the sun. Turns out after they bloom.
Oh, yeah.
And I need wheels on them, so they don't look so great, but you'll get to see them today.
We know Mr. Joe bloomed twice.
That's right. That's right. We had the joy of recovering a 40-year-old night-blooming cereus, and it did survive. For those of you who have been to a couple of my programs this year and watched me chop into things and cut up and put other new soil into pots that couldn't be really repotted, you'll understand that this was not easy, and it worked, and we're very happy about that. Mostly happy about being here in Fondren for the Bottle Tree Garden Tour. Appreciate Jonathan Lee. Appreciate Rebecca Thompson coming to be here with us. And really and truly, we appreciate all y'all listening, coming to visit, coming down to see the tour, and frankly, just being gardeners. That's really what makes all the difference in my world and all the difference in what we do here on Saturday. Whether we're talking about new plants or old plants, it's all about this. Use the garden to be your friend and make sure you put kindness ahead of everything else in your world. Whether you're wearing a Garden Mama shirt, a Fondren Bottle Tree shirt, all of y'all are here and I appreciate you so very much. I know, yeah, by the way, thanks Fondren Yard. Y'all are great. We'll see you again. This is the Garden Mama Show.
The Garden Mama Show is a production of SuperTalk Mississippi Media. Download past episodes at supertalk.fm and contact Garden Mama anytime at mamaonair@yahoo.com. Thanks for choosing the Garden Mama Show.
Please do not use gas appliances for purposes for which they are not intended. A gas oven should never be used for heating purposes. Never store flammable materials inside. The Mississippi Propane Gas Association takes pride in keeping your home or business protected. We ensure that our products are delivered in compliance with the highest industry safety standards to safeguard your family, your property, and the environment. Our dealers participate in the industry's best practices for propane usage and promote consumer safety education. Visit mspropane.com. Energy for everyone. Propane.
You know that nowadays, most people go online to look at a business before they spend their money. Are customers able to find you online? With the power of SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital, you can reach potential customers and get more referral and repeat business. SuperTalk Mississippi Media Digital's highly trained and trusted staff is ready to work with you to help your business capitalize on the power of digital marketing. Call 601-991-2305 or go to stmmdigital.com to get started today.
A SuperTalk Mississippi Media production.